It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Barr back to pass, takes a deep drop, steps up, looking to his right, and the pass intercepted by the Giants at the 40-yard line. Intercepted by the Giants. Corey Webster got the pick, and he's tackled at the Packer 34.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
This is how we do it, but it's not even close to Friday night. Keith McPherson on The Fan. Club is not going up on a Tuesday. Both of our baseball clubs lose. Yankees lose. Mets lose. And I just was looking at the pitching matchup, and I'm like, oh, wait. I think I said, you know, I have a couple Mets friends that text me. I don't get too many calls. But they're like, yeah, we feel good about Sean Manaea pitching, but Bowden Francis is pitching. And if you remember correctly... Bowden Francis had the no-hitter against the Angels just a couple weeks ago. And if you just look at his last three games, he's been pretty solid. Phillies got to him a little bit, but he went six innings, giving up six hits, three earned runs his last time out against Philly. Before that, against Boston, he went seven innings of one-hit ball. And then he had the perfect game bid, going eight innings and giving up one hit, one earned run, striking out 12. So you just heard young Josh talking about this Mets lineup and the bats not hitting. And obviously I also talked about 125 different lineup configurations for the Mets as they continue to tinker and change things. And Brandon Nimmo is batting fifth and DJ Stewart is batting seventh. It just is what it is. I don't know. I was reading a lot of people on Twitter like, we can't be batting DJ Stewart, having him in right field when we're in a chase for the third wild card spot, but you can. He's a part of the team. He was a part of the team last year. He's kind of the guy you go with right now. McNeil is hurt. I don't know. It is what it is. 888-808-1019. Speaking of one-hit ball, I mean, Seth Lugo was out there. It was a one-hitter. For a while, there was a point where he retired 17 Yankees in a row. I was watching that game, and I was like, this sucks. This sucks. All the hype of this lineup, all the hype of, yes, finally. Like, I wonder what the Yankees are thinking upstairs, where they're like, here it is. Here's what you guys wanted. Here's this lineup you guys dreamed up with Dominguez, and here's this lineup with no Verdugo and no DJ LeMahieu and no... Trevino, here it is. This is what you guys wanted, this right? Gleyber Torres leading off, Juan Soto batting second, Aaron Judge third, Austin Wells cleanup, Stanton fifth at DH, Jazz Chisholm sixth, Dominguez seventh, Rizzo eighth, Volpe ninth, here it is. And what do? The Yankees always seem to fold under that pressure at first. It's a tough place to play, New York. It seems like they always get got from the hype. And it's just too much hype. Don't believe the hype. But I do believe that this is the postseason lineup. I do believe this is the best that they have. I do believe that they will figure it out. They will come along. But it's just the first night out, you tip your cap to Seth Lugo. You can't forget that part. Like, Seth Lugo has been dominant all year, and he was clearly unfazed by this Yankees lineup. I mean, the Yankees had 14 strikeouts, and they're literally making history tonight. They couldn't even work walks. Zero walks. They couldn't even get to second base, like zero extra base hits. Gleyber Torres being crafty with a couple bloop singles. But other than that, man, multiple guys with double strikeouts, Volpe, Rizzo, Jazz, Judge, Soto. And like I said, that second strikeout of Judge, bruh, I think I took a screenshot of, you know, MLB at bat when you go to like the game day. I just was like, damn, Judge, swing the bat. Like, starting to get frustrated with Judge. We know how good you are, bro, but you got to swing. What are we looking at here? So, Called strike, called strike. He was throwing that the cutter right on the outside, slider on the outside. The judge fouled off the curveball, fouled off the cutter. Then there was a ball and then a called strike three, sinker. And all he was doing was pitching him outside, just like straight outside. And judge was just looking at it. Pitch that he didn't like, I don't know. Seth Lugo was cool, calm, and collected back in New York City, absolutely shoved against this postseason-ready lineup, and the Yankees didn't have it tonight. Let's talk to these Yankee fans that call the fan. Young Josh out in Brooklyn. What's up, kid?
Hey, Keith. It's been a while.
Yeah, man. You growing up? You doing other things besides listening to the fan, calling the fan?
Yep.
I understand.
Yeah, I just want to talk to you real quick. About the Yankees. First, they started doing good, then they've been sucking it up lately, then they start doing it again. And then now they have the 5-0 loss. What's going on? Now Judge and Soto has been swinging. I have no problem with Judge, just he has been swinging. And maybe the team is dependent on both of them. But do you even think this team's going to have like a chance? Because this team looks like it's breaking apart, kind of, no?
See, that's what I'm talking about.
With, up like, and down and up and down.
Yeah, they've killed our belief. Like, they've killed our belief.
We went 10-4 yesterday. And it's 5-0.
It's not consistent enough. They can't string it together enough. Whether it's the Royals or the Nationals or the Tigers or whomever, they're not a dominant group. They just can't do it night in and night out.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either because they have the guys. They have the lineup.
I was about to say that they have great players.
It just hasn't come together.
They're playing stupid.
So we hope that it comes together in October, but that's the hardest time for it to come together. You got to get really lucky. You got to stay really healthy. You got to get hot at that time, and the Yankees seem to never do that. So that's what I mean. Like, man, they've just done so many things to pour water on our hopes of this team doing it.
I don't want to see the Yankees fall apart in the playoffs like every year.
Especially this year, it's going to burn because there's no dominant team in the American League. It should be them. It 100%.
We should be on top.
Them. Even with Judge, man, Judge is cooled off. I don't care about the Paw Patrol episode, but everybody's saying, "Oh, since he was on Paw Patrol,
please." Okay, no.
But like that's just like what Yankee fans do. They come up with things like that, and he goes 0-for-4 tonight. And you look at Bobby Witt Jr. I know it was just a couple weeks ago where I was talking Triple Crown, where I was like Bobby Witt Jr. His average was like 347, and Judge was at 334. Now Bobby Witt Jr. is at 334, Judge is at 320. He's dipped, and I'm like, man.
Judge has to wake up.
Soto, another 0-for-4 tonight. But like I said, you tip your cap to Seth Lugo. He had everything going.
Yes. I agree with you. But this team really has to do better. And it's a problem saying we have to do good in the playoffs. We have to make it happen, really.
We're running out of time. And that's why you get so frustrated with them doing things like not playing Austin Wells every day, a guy that is now in the conversation for AL Rookie of the Year. Well, if you would have played him every day instead of platooning him, if you would have let him continue to be the starter once Trevino got hurt instead of saying, no, we're going to sit him down, he would have more at-bats. He'd have more stats. He'd have more hits, more games played where, you know, it wouldn't even be a conversation. It really isn't between him and Colton Cowser. And then with Clay Holmes, it took you forever, 11 blown saves to decide, okay, we can't keep wasting games with this guy. That kills morale than they want to admit. These ball players that go out there and play a full game to win the game and it gets lost in the last three outs, it affects the team. DJ LeMahieu, don't tell me that DJ had a lingering hip issue and you just kept putting him out there telling us he deserves to play and that he's grinding and he's working on it. And now he's got a hip issue, he's getting an MRI, he's shut down, he's not going to return for the rest of the year. Well, then why the hell was he out there? Why was he out there getting at bats, falling down? He looked hurt. He looked like he had a hip issue. What goes on? And then, you know, the last piece is Dominguez. And I get it. He's young. And I get it that they wanted him to develop. And I get it that Verdugo they traded for and Judge requested him personally. So they wanted to see it through with Verdugo. But I don't know. You wait to call the Martian up. And you've already lost a bunch of games where if you would have called him up sooner, maybe he could have helped. But whatever. The past is the past. You can only look forward. And I'm looking forward to October. But I'm also dreading it, if that makes any sense. Because, like, I don't have the belief that this group can dominate. I don't have the belief that this group can win a series against anyone. 888-808-1019. And that's unfortunate when you have this payroll. That's unfortunate when you have two MVP candidates. That's unfortunate when you have the reigning Cy Young winner. When you have potentially the AL Rookie of the Year, two of them, Luis Gil and Austin Wells. The fan base isn't confident that this is your year to take October. What's the slogan going to be on the hoodie when they get there? Danny's in Paramus. Danny, you're on the Fan.
Keith, thanks for taking my call, man. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. But listen, I want to go back to a point that you made a few days ago, and you so rightfully said that, you know, if the Yankees don't compete well, your attention is just going to football. I mean, you know, there's a lot of excitement going around there, and there's a ton of energy, and that's a great call, except if you're a Giants fan like me.
Well, not just Giants football, NFL football, fantasy football, college football, parlays, gambling. It's like, you know, I feel for the Giants fans. I really do hope that they beat the Commanders because it sucks to hear so much talk about tanking for college quarterbacks. You can't quit on a season. But I do understand when it's like you're a Yankee Giants fan. No, you're really hoping that the Yankees play as many games as they can play and win the championship because you feel like the football season already ended. But no, what I was saying is this is entertainment, right? Like, this is a business. That's why I knew they were going to call the Martian up. They have a homestand. They could not run Verdugo out there in a homestand and have fans booing him. They could not continue on with DJ LeMay, who have fans booing him. You got to put butts in the seats. You got to sell tickets. Dominguez is going to help you do that. Putting his lineup together had a good amount of people in Yankee Stadium tonight. You're competing for attention. You're competing for the dollar. And now that football is back, other people are just taking their attention elsewhere. Monday night, I didn't go to the game last night. Someone asked, are you going to the game? No, Monday night football is on. If I go to the Yankee game, I can't watch Monday night football. Thursday, if I go to the game, I can't watch Thursday night football. Now they're, you know, the NFL is back. There's this other things in play. And because the Yankees didn't roll like they should have rolled, because the Yankees didn't do the things that the fans wanted them to do, a lot of us are sitting here just going through the motions like, we don't believe you. You need more people. Like, we just don't think that, like, you're like that. We don't think that you're actually going to win the World Series. We want to. We hope that you do. We think that you possibly can, but that's more based on the field than your roster and your manager and what you guys put out there every night.
No, you're 100% there, honestly. But I just don't have the faith in the Yankees, but I just need it to be there because there's none in the Giants. I mean, I really think that we need to, Giants fans might need to, you know, somewhat divest in the team. Because nothing's changing. I mean, as long as rear ends are still in seats over there at MetLife Stadium when they're playing, they're leaving halfway through the game anyway. So why even bother? Why even patronize them? So it's just crazy times, Keith. I'm actually looking forward to the Knicks most of all, which is just totally upside down. I don't know if I've ever said that.
I heard a caller say that on BT and Sal's show yesterday. Already ready for the Knicks to start. I'm like, no. We're fast forwarding.
Yeah, I'm not alone. It's not that crazy. I'm not alone there, Keith.
I mean, it's going to be a good season for the Knicks, but you got to get to October. We got to get to October before we start talking basketball. Thanks for the call, Danny. 888-808-1019. I guess because I'm not really looking forward to the Nets season. I actually am. I just know that they're not going to win. I know they're not going to be that good. So it's not like I'm thirsting for it. It's not like I'm, oh, man, let's get the Nets season started. But I understand the Knicks fans that you want to see what Mikal Bridges looks like. You want to see what this team looks like with Julius Randle. You want to see what this team looks like healthy. The healthiest they're going to be is opening night. And I mean, it's been a long time since there's been this much juice around the New York Knicks, so I get it, especially if you're a Giants fan, and you did have hope and optimism. Like, I was laughing, bro. So many of my friends and people I know and people I follow online were at that tailgate, and everybody was feeling confident. I didn't see one negative post. I didn't see one person even worried about the Vikings. That's why I got on last night, and I started talking about all these little things with the Vikings. Like, yo, I think we largely underestimated them. We largely underestimated that group. So many people thought it was a guarantee for the Giants to show up and, I mean, if not beat them, compete. And they got their ass whooped. It wasn't even close. It was embarrassing. The Boo Birds. DJ, I'm coming to you next. But speaking of DJ and the New York Giants, we got to read what this outside linebacker. That's another thing. The Vikings have so many random guys talking in the media. Ivan Pace Jr., Jonathan Grenard, like, who the hell are these guys? But this guy got on K-Fan in Minnesota. Like, could you imagine Illuminor? Well, I guess you can't do that. You know, getting on the Fan and talking about the other team. But sports radio 100.3 KFAN, Minnesota station for sports, they did an interview, and this guy said, man, we heard the boos raining in. We're like, okay, now we're good on our end. But when it got really loud to where it was as loud as it would be on third down defense, it was kind of bad. We kind of started to feel a little bit bad for him as we're still just completely taking everything that he wants to do, taking away everything that he wants to do. So, like, not only are these defenses not shook of the Giants offense, they don't respect Daniel Jones, they don't respect his contract, they're starting to pity him because his own fan base has completely turned on him, where they feel like they're at a home game, the first game of the season in East Rutherford. 888-808-1019. Now, if that doesn't make you feel some type of way, like, I understand, you know, you should feel some type of way about the video coming out of the fans waiting to boo Daniel Jones hours after the game. Go home. Leave. What are you doing? Please go watch the 425 games. Go do anything else. If that doesn't make you feel some type of way, it's got to make you feel some type of way that these guys are going on the radio in Minnesota talking about the fans booing and how they felt bad for Daniel Jones. There was another quote. He said, I've been a part of those boos when you're walking on the field and your offense doesn't make anything happen. And there's just, you would think it's an away game at this point. But at that time, you know how we were attacking him and understanding like where he's at in his career based on, you know, obviously the scheme that he has, you know, whatever the contract thing's going on. So we understand he's dealing with a lot. And if we can add another aspect of pressure onto the guy to make him speed up his reads a little bit more, make sure that he's not going to get confident and comfortable back in the pocket, man, it was a great feeling to see it on the first couple of drives. So Giants fans, not only did you deter your own team, you gave the Vikings fans hope. You gave the Vikings fans early, like, or the Vikings players, not the handful of Vikings fans that were across the stadium. Their defense was like, oh, we got the fans on our side. We're shutting them down. They're turning on them. And what did I tell you last night? There was like three factors. There's the injury factor. Like, I think Daniel Jones is shook. I think he's honestly scared. Yeah, he ran the ball a little bit. I think I've seen a design run for him or two. But I think he's honestly scared. And what I mean about being scared, he's scared to take a big hit. He's scared to play freely. He's scared to make the read, let the ball rip, and just go out there and play football. But then there's also the fact of like, yo, I've gotten paid all this money now. I'm the highest paid player on the team. I got to carry, and I can't carry. There's no Saquon anymore. Speaking of carrying, Saquon did all the carrying, made my job easier. Quarterback's best friend is a good running back. So that's tough, man. And then, you know, the last factor was just the play calling and the scheme. There is 11 guys over there that are trying to stop you. It's not that easy to just find Malik Nabers. It's not that easy to just throw a screen to Wandale Robinson. Like, there are NFL players over there trying to intercept the ball, trying to get in your throwing lanes, trying to take your head off. Like, what a rough day for Daniel Jones. What a nightmare. 888-808-1019. Let's go back to the conversation with the Mets. I said I was going to DJ next. Thanks for holding, DJ in East Brunswick. You're on the Fan.
What's going on, my brother? How are you?
I'm all right. Rewatching the Yankees get shut down by former Met Seth Lugo. He was brilliant.
They were, like, watching the Mets and then watching, like, you know, Atlanta. It's like Atlanta, can you lose already, please? For the life of us.
Yeah.
The Yankee fans, you guys are going to the playoffs, which I, like, you know, the whole year listening to you and, you know, listening to Yankee fans panic. I mean, it's tiresome, especially as a Rockies fan. It's like, you guys are set up to go where you're going to go. Why are we stressing this much? Yes, there's problems. I mean, there's always going to be problems. Even if you go back to those 90s teams with the Yankees, there's a problem. The bullpen is this. There's going to be things that are there. I mean,
it's baseball. It's hard to play. There's definitely going to be challenges. There's definitely going to be problems. But for Yankee fans, we get frustrated with them because we feel like they create their own problems. We get frustrated with them because we feel like they should be better than they are. But they've gotten their own way so much.
All right, Keith. I have 2 points real quick. Let me get some.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Yankees get in their way. And this is why I firmly believe Cashman has to go. He is the rock that is in their way. That's just point blank period. Yeah, he signed Soto. Oh, forgive him. No. The guy doesn't know how to draft pitchers.
He traded for him. He gave away a handful of players. He still didn't sign him. He traded for him. I can't really give him that much props for it, but go on.
No, but like he does this, like this, I would say, like I say to my wife, he does this magic trick on Yankee fans every year. You know what I mean? Oh, I don't know how to draft pitchers, but look at what we got. And then, oh, boom, I signed a couple hitters.
Jedi mind tricks. Yep, I've seen them.
Yeah, forgive me. Oh, yeah. And then the Yankees going to skate, and then everybody's asking for his head. Then they recover. Now it's all, let's forgive Cashman.
No, I think it's probably 65 to 70% of Yankee fans that are like, there is no forgiving. There's too many mistakes.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Too many issues, too many errors. There's too many Yankee fans wearing Fire Cashman shirts. They have to get it done.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. No one missed. 4 seconds left. The Giants have won Super Bowl 25 by the score of 20-19.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yer. Right back at it on The Fan in New York. Hello, how are you? What are you doing? Oh, you're listening to The Fan. Well, you might be working, you might be driving, you might be at the crib, you might be just kicked up, laying back, kicked up like Brian Daboll with his feet up. No worries, not a care in the world. Like, doesn't it look so bad now? As great as we thought Hard Knocks was, as much as we enjoyed it, it does not look good after what you saw in week one. It does not look good. The decisions that they made to pay Daniel Jones and not keep Saquon Barkley. I listen to people all day today call a fan and try and talk about the offensive line. And they could have found a way to revamp this offensive line and keep Saquon Barkley if they wanted to. The problem is how much money they paid Daniel Jones. But there's a way. If Jerry Jones is finding ways to pay Dak Prescott all this money, CeeDee Lamb all this money, the Eagles have a bunch of guys paid. Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Saquon Barkley. There's ways if you really want to do it. But they didn't want to. They didn't want to pay a quote-unquote running back. And now that running back might end up being the best running back in the NFL playing, you know, on a talented team. And here we are talking about Daniel Jones still can't play the position. And you had Hard Knocks where they were interviewing multiple quarterbacks that they couldn't draft. And even in the Bears Hard Knocks, there's audio of Shane talking to Ryan Poles, the GM of the Bears, about like, oh, must feel good to not have to worry about a quarterback. Maybe they do have to worry about a quarterback, actually. Maybe Caleb Williams isn't just the next coming of Patrick Mahomes. It's no guarantee. It's hard to draft quarterbacks. It's even harder to draft and develop these quarterbacks. I don't care what guys did in college. I really don't. It's a different game. Like I just was talking about Caleb Williams being undersized, and he's got to show me. I know he's got talent or whatever, but it does not just always translate. 888-808-1019. But yeah, just when you thought the identity of the New York Giants is Shane and Daboll, they might be on the hot seat. This could be a rough year, man. This could be a rough year. So Giants fans are starting to call. I'm going to take a Giants call, but I also have Yankee fans on the line as the Yankees lose and get shut out. And, you know, my feeling around the Yankees, I love them. I'm going to be there in October. I haven't gone to the stadium since that loss against the Guardians and that first loss against the Guardians, and then they took the next two. That one pissed me off with DJ LeMahieu not stepping on the bag and Trent Grisham not scoring. And I just was like, man, I'm not beat to go up there.
I literally am just like choosing at night to like stay with my son and my wife. I'll be there in October. I'll be there in the postseason, but they have drained me. They have taken my belief. You know, it gets super frustrating watching them do things over and over and over again until there's no time. Now there's no time. There's 17 games left. There's 17 games left to tighten up the screws and play your best baseball and turn into the number one seed in the American League, win the American League East, and go on your run to the Fall Classic. 888-808-1019. Arthur's in Springfield. Arthur, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. Thanks for taking my call. Love your show. I just wanted to get your thoughts on the following. I honestly don't believe that the Yankees can go far until they get rid of Boone. There's just something there. The mentality doesn't mix. He doesn't put in the right guys at the right time. Doesn't take them out at the right time. And I'm just sick and tired of watching the post-game interviews where he takes no accountability. There's just no emotion. And, you know, there's just must be emotion. I just feel like there's no, I don't know. There's something there. He's been doing it. We have a great group of guys, and they just can't get it done. And some people want to say it's Cashman, and it may very well be, but I just think it's Boone and Hal, because Cashman was great under George, right? I mean, I'm just curious what your thoughts are. I honestly think they need to get rid of Boone.
They're all connected, and you're not the only one that feels that way. You're not the only one that feels like they can't win under Aaron Boone. I mean, they can win games, regular season games, but ultimately to outmanage other managers, to make the right moves, to do the right things, to put the right lineups together, to make the right decisions with the bullpen, to take the ball from a starter at the right time. There are a lot of Yankee fans that don't feel confident that Aaron Boone is going to be able to get that done in crunch time in October when it matters the most. I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of indifferent on it because I just feel like the players have to perform. The players have to get it done. But there's definitely something to be said about the vibe and energy around the team and the team mimicking the manager and the manager being the one who sets the precedent and sets the tone for everything. The manager is the face of the ball club. He's the coach. He's the one that talks to the media. He's forever taken up for these guys, which I understand. He's never going to throw his guys under the bus. But I feel like it sets this culture of like anything goes. Everything is accepted. This is fine. And there has to be accountability. And when he has chosen to make guys accountable, it hasn't necessarily been the correct times. I don't know, man. This is who we have. And this is who I believe we're going to have next year and the years after. I've been vocal about it. I don't think Boone is in his last year managing no matter what happens this year. They're about to be a first-place team potentially. They're about to be the number one seed. And whatever happens in October, they're going to say it's a crapshoot. They're not going to put any blame on Boone. This is the Aaron Boone era of the Yankees.
Wow. So you think that if they don't go far into the playoffs, he's still coming back next year?
Before I was on the Fan, the 2021 season, when they didn't do what it took to get that home field wild card one off, before we switched to this three-game set, I was so mad that I remember going to the game. It took a walk-off single for them to win one game from the Tampa Bay Rays. And the Tampa Bay Rays were already signed, sealed, delivered, knew where they were going to be. But the Yankees had to walk off that Sunday game to get the one win, and then they ended up going to Fenway. And that lineup and that performance from Gerrit Cole and the way that they just, you know, meekly went into the night, and then the Red Sox went on a run with Alex Cora and those guys. I remember putting out a video, taking a walk. I was so mad. Like, I'm like, Aaron Boone should be fired. And they read him up after that. And that was before I got on the Fan. It was way before I ever met Boone. I was just like, just being a fan. I was like, if there was a time to move on from a guy, your arch rivals just knocked you out in a one-game playoff, in a one-game wildcard round in Boston, just embarrassed you, that guy should go. You should open up a search for someone else. And they didn't. So here we are, fast forward. That was 2021, 3 years later. They gave him a three-year contract. I think he's got another contract waiting. I think there's another contract coming. So
I sure hope not, but I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Arthur. It just is what it is. The captain of this team, Aaron Judge, loves Aaron Boone. The GM of this team talks to Aaron Boone every day. They're in lockstep. He handpicked Aaron Boone, who never managed any other teams. Like, he took Aaron Boone, a former Yankee, former player, a TV analyst, and said, here's the keys. We've took the keys to the Ferrari away from Joe Girardi, who got us to Game 7. You get us to Game 7, and that hasn't happened since. 888-808-1019. I said I wanted to play the clip today from Aaron Boone on Talking Yanks. I used to work with the guys at John Boy. I used to do so many things behind the scenes that laid the groundwork for Talking Yanks. I used to be a huge Talking Yanks fan. When they came up, I mean, it inspired me because I'm like, I watched John Boy and Jake on Yankees Twitter just make something out of nothing. And, you know, I remember when Jimmy was a wedding photographer and Jake was like selling lights. He was like doing something like selling light bulbs or something like that. I don't even know. But now, like, these guys have a company that's going to be raking in millions of dollars. They're not going anywhere. And they're at the point where every week they challenge the Yankee manager in a way that Yankee fans wish they could. So let's play this clip again. Like, you know, it got contentious last time Boone was on. But Jimmy is just in a place. John Boy is in a place now. John Boy is a boss. He's got a media empire. He has Aaron Boone out as a guest, and I'm sure that they talk because Boone does, you know, little side appearances with them. But, like, I know that they have it where they tell Boone, you know, Jimmy's going to challenge you on some things. He's got numbers. He's got things that he's got issues with as a fan. I know Jimmy loves the Yankees as much as anybody else. And here's the back and forth that they had, you know, talking about a couple Yankees. And then I'll pick up after we play this audio from Talking Yanks today.
Jazz has been great on hot shots. He's got an awesome arm coming in on the ball still. There's been, you know, sometimes where it's like, well, he's not a third baseman by trade. Gleyber has not had a good season defensively.
I think you need to stop with the Jazz stuff. Like,
if all right,
you're not made a couple mistakes over there, but it's been really good.
Well, then if that's not available for conversation, then I'll stick you on the other one because Gleyber's been the worst second baseman of the league defensively.
I would push back on that as far as the worst. He's made the most errors.
And
he has not been close to the worst.
Inside edge tracks poor plays as well. And Gleyber has 11 of those, 17 errors. So 28 poor plays. Next would be 16. If I'm not talking about one, I'm going to make sure I get my points on the other. He's been very poor.
The worst is a reach. He's made mistakes, no doubt about it. He leads the league in errors. I understand that. But there's also the good plays, too, that factor in. So to say he's the worst in the league is...
Okay, one of the worst. Is there...
Yeah, so, I mean, what I'll say about, you know, Jimmy, he is not afraid to challenge Aaron Boone because these guys have an office where all they do is crunch numbers. They are baseball nerds. I don't think Jimmy could tell you much about the Giants, Jets. I don't think he could tell you much about the Knicks or Nets. He could tell you everything about the Yankees and Major League Baseball. And when he's talking to Aaron Boone, and Aaron Boone is trying to tell him things that he knows to be true, to not be true, it goes back to what I always say, the whole piss on my head, tell me it's raining. And, like, there's a quote that Aaron Boone uses where he says, well, when you run the team, you make the decisions. None of us are ever going to get to run the team. But I feel like that's also something that Brian Cashman says without saying, right? When we're all screaming for Dominguez over Verdugo, Brian Cashman goes to Chicago and tells everybody that Verdugo gives us the best chance to win. And then Verdugo is almost running into a double play. I don't know why the hell he was almost more than halfway to second base. Pete Crow Armstrong almost throws him out. And we're like, really? This is the guy that gives us the best chance to win? Well, when you run the team, you can make the decision. When you run the team, you can decide who's in the roster. They tell you the roster's a living organism. And just days after that, DJ's on the IL after they forced him on us. We had to watch him struggle. The guy was hurt. And now all of a sudden, Verdugo is available. Not on September 1st, September 9th. 888-808-1019. And those little things is why Yankee fans have trust issues. Those little things are why Yankee fans don't believe in the organization and the team. Those little things are why we're kind of just going through the motions right now and hoping for the best. Let's talk about the Giants. Kenny is in Elizabeth, New Jersey. Kenny, you're on the Fan in New York.
What's up, Keith?
You know, doing the show.
Just wanted to go back to the Giants. When you when the show came back on, you brought up Brian Daboll and how him and Shane are on the hot seat a little bit. I understand, like, a lot of the blame should be on Daniel, and I don't think he should be playing quarterback at all for the rest of the year. But how much blame, I was just curious, how much blame do you put on the rest of the organization, and who would you put it on in general?
You know, it's funny too, as I'm talking about how I believe that Boone is safe, I do believe that because John Mara didn't want another revolving door of 2 years, those guys survived the 2 years,
but I don't know if they'll be able to survive this one. Giants fans are pissed off. And when you look at who they've drafted, and when you look at who they've let walk, and when you look at who they've decided to pay, they need to be getting results by now. And it's unfortunate that that first year they went to the playoffs and won a game, because I think it was fool's gold. Thanks for the call, Kenny. Sorry, I just too much interference coming in. You following me? Like, they drafted Evan Neal. They drafted Kayvon. You know, I didn't speak on Kayvon and his interaction with Jordan Renan. It's not a good look, man. Kayvon is a guy that, coming out of Oregon, I thought was going to come here and take New York by storm. I like his personality. I was really hoping, and he might still have a good year, but I really was just hoping that he would mature and learn and understand New York. And, like, don't let these guys get under your skin, like Jordan Renan from ESPN that's covering the Giants, that, you know, is a Giants fan and is going to ask you some things and prod and poke. And, you know, for him to take that question from Jordan Renan and say, anybody else got questions? Like, you can't do that, man. Not week one. Not after you guys lose like that. Not after the fans are booing the whole game and you score 6 points and you have zero tackles. 888-808-1019. You know, there's a lot of misses. Like, if I pull up the Giants draft picks now under Shane and Dable, like, they've been here long enough. You can't put this on David Gettleman. They paid some of Dave Gettleman's guys. I think they paid some of the right guys, like Dexter Lawrence. But I think they paid a wrong guy in Daniel Jones. They should have stuck with their gut feeling. They didn't pick up Daniel Jones' rookie option. They signed Tyrod Taylor to back him up. They had it in their mind that Tyrod Taylor would potentially beat him out. They should have kept with that thought. Tyrod Taylor can play the quarterback position better than Daniel Jones. They should have stuck with that. But they got duped. They got hoodwinked. They got bamboozled. They fell into Brian Daboll as coach of the year. Daniel Jones is the quarterback of the Giants, won him a playoff game. He's the future. And they kind of got painted into a corner where they had to pay him, because you can't lose a quarterback that's just won you a playoff game. Sure you can. If you don't believe in him, you didn't believe in him when you first met him. Like, you knew. You had enough practice film. You had enough game film. You had enough time around the guy. Now you're in a situation where you also shouldn't be in this situation. I don't know how many nights I was on the Fan last year and C-Mac was following me, C-Mac being a Giants fan and definitely someone who I don't think was supporting Daniel Jones ever. In the last few years that I've heard C-Mac, from Carton Roberts to doing Friday overnight shows, from doing bridge shows to now doing the overnight for over a year, I don't think there was one time that I heard C-Mac say, Daniel Jones is the guy, I believe in Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones is the future of the Giants. We were on last year saying, tank. Lose. You could get a top three pick. If you're picking top three, you're going to get one of the Heisman Trophy winner or the other two quarterbacks that were touted as the top two quarterbacks coming out in the draft, and Drake May, Caleb Williams. 888-808-1019. And Brian Daboll and Joe Shane couldn't even do that right. Here comes, from Cedar Grove, Tommy Cutlets. My boy Tommy. You know Tommy. Yeah. Yeah, Tommy with the Rao's sauce. Tommy, you know, the hometown kid. Don Bosco wins you some games. For what? For morale? The morale was down. You know, we heard about Wink Martindale and the issues going on. Xavier McKinney talking. Like, that's a guy. Xavier McKinney, I think he's going to have a big year with the Packers. He showed himself in the first game, had a nice pick. Jalen Hurts also sucks, but he showed himself. Julian Love, I mentioned the other night. That's a guy they let walk. You need those guys. Your secondary, I don't know. Your secondary is going to be a little suspect. You had to bring back a Dory Jackson. Dory Jackson right back to pass interference penalties. Like, bruh. Let's go back and forth. Yankees, Giants. My calls are lining up. Yankees and Giants. Let's take another Yankees call. Charlie's in Queens. Charlie, you're on the Fan.
How you doing? I was wondering why you weren't at the games, Keith, but now I'm starting to hear why.
I just they killed me, man. They just ripped the I was really all in, and I was showing up, and I'm doing a roll call, and just, you know, just keep running Clay Holmes out there and keep playing DJ and keep telling us Verdugo. I'm just like, I can't, man. I just they took the energy out of it, and I had this back and forth I want to read to you. With my friend Matt, who works for MLB Network. And you know, I said they'd rather be right than give the fans what they want. And it's so wide open this year. I just don't want to be hurt. I don't want to be disappointed. And it just sucks that like they do so many things that make you feel like they're unserious about winning. And they'd rather be right than do the things that are right in front of them. And when you do that and the fans are screaming for these things over and over again, and you got to watch Clay Holmes blow saves, and you got to watch DJ pop out in foul territory, and you got to watch Verdugo ground out to second base, and they keep telling you over and over again, no, we know what we're doing. This is right. This will work. We believe in Clay Holmes, and we believe it. It just sucks the air out of the fans, and I'm one of those fans that now I'm just, here we are another season. I want them to win a World Series more than anything in the sports. I just don't believe.
Now I have a question for you. What is the average life expectancy of most GMs in baseball? I believe, I'm just saying, Cashman is sour milk. His expiration date has gone way beyond it should.
Mm-hmm.
And his failures are amounting way more than his successes. He lucks into good players. He'll find a 2-minute gem, and then in the playoffs, he'll be exposed for how bad that guy is. And he goes, well, I'm doing what I'm, you know, what I have. No, you're not.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're playing with us. You're playing like, you know, like the shiny keys in front of the stupid kid. You're like, hey, look, mm-hmm. look. And we're like, we're not that stupid, bro.
Yep. It's my team. I can do what I want with the team. You guys don't know. When you guys run the team, you do what you want. Until then, he's the eternal GM, man. Like, it just is what it is. And that's why I say it gets frustrating. You haven't seen me in 203. You haven't seen me out there doing a roll call. Because I just, like,
I miss you there.
I will be back. I will be back, but it's just like they have taken the energy it takes for me to drive up there. They've taken the energy it takes for me to, you know, just like get ready for a game day. And like, I've seen so many losses this year. They're not even good at the stadium. I think I had a consecutive streak of like 3 or 4 losses where I'm like, man, it messes with my mood and my vibe. And I'm like, all right, what would I rather do? Tuck my son in at night at 7 o'clock or be sitting in the stadium aggravated by, you know, 7:30, 8 o'clock. Like, I'd rather put my kid to bed.
And one last thing about the Yankees, stop defending these screw ups, either Clay Holmes. And I don't totally blame Clay Holmes because he's a ground ball pitcher, which means you have to have defense. And when you have Glaber, 1 minute a good play, and then 3 plays after that screwing up.
They should have traded him. They should have traded him when they had the opportunity. And now, Charlie, we just know the inevitable is going to happen. A Gleyber Torres mistake in October that's going to cost us. We're all going to be looking around and say, well, could have predicted that. That's what he does. And they're, you know, there are other Yankee fans that say, well, he's hitting now. We found our leadoff hitter. But what's it going to cost? It's going to cost you a run. It's going to cost you a game in October because that's what type of player this guy is. You should have got rid of him in 2021. You should have got rid of him in 2022. And they keep protecting these guys. You just heard Boone defending him. He leads the league in errors, but, oh, no, there's some good plays. Yeah, you said the same thing about IKF, and then we get to the ALCS, and Peraza's got to start over him.
And then one thing about the Giants, Daniels and Saquon are the same thing. They picked players who should not be where they were, and I'm nothing. I think Barkley's a great player, an amazing player.
Yeah, but they drafted him way too high. Not at 2. No, and they didn't need to draft him.
They should have went back for more players and maybe gotten him and picked up things, or they should have picked up what they really needed.
They should have traded that number 2 pick.
Yeah, I agree.
But
I agree, and I'm just so like fed up with these stupid decisions on both things, Yankee and a Giants fan. It's just heart attack after heart attack. And thank you for letting me call and give you the time. And one last thing, Bernie Kosar was at the game tonight.
Yeah, did he pull up to the section? He came to the bleachers?
Yes, he did. He came through, sat right up there in the bleacher creature. But that was the only good thing other than the talk with the guys in the crowd. But
I missed you guys in 203, man. I saw that they put MTA Joe and Chico up on the mural in the bodega.
I love him.
Yeah, they're all Chico. Awesome guys. I miss everybody. I still talk in the chat. I just haven't been to as many games. I was going for my 40, 45 games. I think I got the 30 this year, and I'm like, that's enough because they have killed my belief. Charlie, I'll see you soon, man. Thanks for the call. 888-808-1019. Ross in Bergen County, I'll come to you after the break. But, yeah, like, I have these conversations with Yankee fans. We love the team, but we're frustrated with the organization. We love the history. We love former players. We love our stadium. We love hanging out with fellow Yankee fans. We love the summer into the fall, going there to drink and eat and watch the team play. But if you went there tonight to watch them get shut out, get one hit by Seth Lugo with the hype of this postseason lineup, it's super frustrating. Tonight, September 10th, shouldn't have been the first time that we saw that lineup. And that's why I say, you know, I was just talking to my boy Matt on Sunday. I said, I'm just over it, bro. Football is starting now. I just don't believe in them, and that's what hurts. There was belief there earlier in the year. When they got Soto and they started off hot, we had belief. I remember saying, I'm in full bloom love with this team. I'm starting to get that feeling. This could be the year, and it still very well could be, but they've killed our hope. They'd rather be right than give the fans what they want. It's wide open this year out of all the years, and that's what's really going to burn when they fall short. That's what's really going to sting when they lose to one of these scrub teams, one of these poverty franchises, one of these teams that are not the New York Yankees, that don't have the talent, don't have the payroll, don't have the fan base, don't have the home field advantage. 888-808-1019. Coming up next, my Casamigos big shot of the night. I stalled. I got to find one. It's tough to do when the Mets lose, Yankees lose. And then we'll take calls on the Giants, on my little, soliloquy about the Yankees right there. And we'll bring the Mets back into the conversation as well. I got two more hours to go. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap. Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.